I hope you like illustrations. Please say yes.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I used to be a cartographic draftsman, and I like to have things like this. This is a map of the Lake of Galilee. I'm almost there. I've never used one of these in my life. I'm told to press... Oh, it's on. This is the introduction. I want to talk about the disciples' apprenticeship, maybe your apprenticeship, how you serve God. You might be able to learn something. I hope I will. And then I'll look for 24 hours with Jesus, how Jesus used his the followers, and he prepared them, because he was only going to be on earth for about 3 years in a physical form, and he had to prepare the guys to take over from him. So he chose a few different people, some of them quite controversial. One of them was virtually a terrorist. Anyway, we'll leave that. But there's one other thing that I would like you to do. We do have a memory verse this morning. Do you all like memory verses? You do. You're nodding your heads. That's good. I'm only going to put this on the screen for 3 seconds. And you have to memorize this verse. Are you ready? Here we go. Okay. Back to the introduction. What is the memory verse? Excellent. But stay here for now. I put that on because we, as Christians, sometimes we look at God's word and we read something that we don't particularly like. So we blank it out. We don't take it on board at all. We pick and choose the words and verses we want our God to be like. I mentioned it just last night, that sometimes we like to create God in our own image. We like Jesus to be comfortable for us, and we don't want to go outside. Some of the things in the Bible, they come and they grate a bit. So I want to talk about that just a little bit, because we need to be aware of what was going on. The disciples were in the region of Galilee. That's the lake, the top half of the lake. And the main place... I've got a stick here. This was given to me by a Maasai tribe to make me one of their elders, so I use this quite a bit. But probably Jesus was born in Nazareth. He wanted to go to Jerusalem, which is down here. I didn't manage that. But the area we're talking about is round here. Capernaum was where Peter lived, and that's the place where Jesus spent quite a bit of his time. If you ever hear of Jesus on a boat anywhere, it's always on the Lake of Galilee. Anyway, he had the disciples, and they were following him, and Jesus said, "I want you to watch me and listen, just follow me around." And this is what happened. They arrived at Capernaum, and it was in the afternoon. It was a Sabbath, probably. Maybe it was the day before, because they weren't allowed to travel on the Sabbath, were they? And the people came to see Jesus in their masses. And Jesus stayed at Peter's house with his wife. We know he had a wife because there was a lady who was sick. Do you know who was sick in Peter's house? Yeah, his mother-in-law. So presumably he was married. And so Jesus became enormously popular fairly quickly. And that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town, I think Mark likes to exaggerate just a little bit anyway, the whole town gathered at his door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. That must have been quite dramatic. And I wonder what went through in the disciples' minds. They had been oppressed by 400 years by the Assyrians, by the Greeks, and now the Romans. And all they've known was oppression. And if you want to know the reason behind this, and I'm just going to mention it briefly, you find Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Don't go to it now. And just go, well, you can if you want to, and go back one verse. Go back one verse from Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and you find yourself at the end of Malachi. And that gives a reason, possibly, for the problems, for the 400 years of persecution. I'll leave that for now. You can come and see me afterwards if you want any help on that. But then what happened? You know, probably the disciples thought, well, this is great. And they were standing by Jesus. They were watching all that Jesus was doing. They saw the people being healed. This had never happened before. It was incredible. And they were standing next to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were getting some of the popularity. And anyway, probably they were up until the early hours. And then they went to bed. In the morning, Peter, he looked out and the people were crowding round the door there, and they're very excited about what was going on. They wanted Jesus, and they turned around to where Jesus was sleeping, but he wasn't there. And he disappeared. He'd gone to a quiet place, that the Bible puts it. He sometimes wasn't very successful in finding quiet places, as you will find out in a little while. And so Simon and some of the others went, his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Now really, what they were saying, it wasn't just "everyone is looking for you," they were saying, look what's happening down at Capernaum. Everyone is there. It's going to be fantastic. Evangelism, you know, you can do whatever you want to. And they went on probably a little while. And then Jesus turned to them and Jesus said, what? Well done. Well done. Excellent. He said, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now this is incredible. I haven't got it here, but I should have something else, some money. I've got a great wadge of money in my rucksack. Shall I get it? Yeah, I'll do it. Are any of you feeling poor? Would you like some money? Because I've got a generous streak in me, and I feel I need to share it with someone. Sorry, I wasn't thinking you were going to nick some of my money, but there we go. This is a failed illustration completely. But what I normally do in the seminar, I don't know where I put it, dear. Imagine I've got loads of money here, and I'm a generous guy, so I'm going to give it away. So I give some to you, anyway. And I'll give some to you, because you've got a nice smile on your face. There we are. And I've got loads, I've got 10,000 left, so I'll give you some more, okay? I'm not generous. I actually have money somewhere. It's monopoly money. There, you can have the rest of it. Now, are you happy with that? Are you happy with my generosity? All of you? Is anyone not happy? Yeah, what's the problem? What's the problem, sir? Are you doing better than Jika? Okay, well, that is a situation that you find yourself in many churches all over the world. They've got their own church, they've got their own congregation, they've got their own kids, and they feed them, but there are people outside. And Jesus says here, go to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. You don't have to be all in this. I don't want you to leave this church. This is an amazing church. But have a heart for the people outside. And you have to work out, how are you going to go out to them? Jesus says, let us go somewhere else. He defines it. He said, to the nearby villages. To the places that you probably wouldn't think about. Maybe the street next to you in your house. Maybe the town. Maybe an ethnic community that you haven't noticed or reached. And Jesus said, that is why I have come. If you want to know why Jesus left heaven and came to earth, it is because he wanted to go to the nearby villages. And so we need to work out where those nearby villages are. We come here, we get strengthened. You have amazing teaching in this church. But you need to apply it in the desperate society where people are going to hell. If we really believe that people are in danger of going to hell, we can't just come and sing our songs here and do things like this. We have to do something about the people out there. Well, I've done my partly failed illustration. I'm sure you enjoyed it immensely. And so there we go. And anyway, so they had to go somewhere else. And now we have to look at what Jesus did. And he decided that he would send the disciples out fairly quickly. So these guys, these 12, were following him, and they were seeing all the amazing things that he was doing, and he then said, he went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. So here are these disciples. They probably had a lot to learn from the scriptures. They had to learn a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was doing. And they were probably puzzled about some of the things that were happening. So they started their apprenticeship and they started going out. And he said to them, these are the instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. And if I'd had a couple of kids here, they'd come down with the rucksack that I had at the back. And there was hot water bottles and things like that, and there were money, although I seem to have given all the money away. But all Jesus had for them was, he said, the only thing you can take is a staff. I don't know why he said that. I mean, you can't eat a staff and it doesn't help you too much. Maybe you can kill a snake or two. I'm not sure. But he said, look, when you go out, I want you to go trusting me. Okay, Cynthia and I have been invited to go to Australia. Cynthia is not 100% fit and we can't go yet. We're praying that when she is fit enough, we will go over there unless God stops us. We have to be prepared to take our bodies, our lives, the health that we've got and the health that we don't have, and take it into the villages around, into the places where we live, and somehow to communicate with people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they did what was happening. And there is a gap. There's an annoying passage in the Bible here. And you get the story about the children of Israel, sorry, the disciples going out and preaching and driving out demons and things. And then you've got the whole story about John the Baptist and having his head chopped off And then you carry on with them coming to Jesus. Now, this has annoyed me, and I wondered why is this passage about John the Baptist in the middle of the dialogue of the 12 and their apprenticeship? And I think it's probably this, and I may be wrong, I think they were they got quite tired, and they'd heard about John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was the cousin to Jesus, and he was one of the king pins in this new movement, this Christianity movement. And they were they heard about John the Baptist being killed, and they thought, what is going on? Will it all fall? Will it collapse? Sometimes we are fearful that what we're doing, it won't work. If we say to people we're going to do something for Jesus because we really believe that he said that, are we worried that it won't happen? And what will people think of us? Probably something of that was going into their minds. And maybe they were suffering from a form of post-traumatic shock disorder or something like that. Anyway, we start with the 24 hours with Jesus. And, we got it right this time. And what happens is that the Bible says that the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Note that the word apostles, from disciples, Jesus is calling them apostles now. An apostle, I looked it up, it says apostle is one sent as a representative of another. The representative derives his authority and power from the one sending him. That's beautiful. It's like an ambassador for Jesus. We go into your village. We go with the authority of God and the strength of Jesus in your hearts and lives. So anyway, the apostles gathered round Jesus. They were incredibly tired. Then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. Imagine the throng that Jesus was attracting wherever he went. And so Jesus felt really sorry for them, didn't he? And he says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So he said, come with me by yourselves, Jesus and the disciples. Fantastic. Boat trip as well. Wonderful. To a quiet place and get some rest. Don't we all need rest sometimes? Well, you probably know what's going to happen, don't you? So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And probably the disciples thought, oh, for goodness sake, is this our quiet place? Does this ever happen to you? Do you serve God and you think it's going to be very beautiful, it's going to be okay, and then suddenly you are inundated with events and circumstances that you weren't expecting, couldn't cope with? And so Jesus was in this quiet place with 5,000 people, a perfect holiday retreat. Great that Jesus saw the need for rest and recreation. Maybe a quiet boat trip, but they'd had that. And then it was getting late, wasn't it? 5,000 people, Jesus was teaching, and so the disciples thought they were going to give Jesus some more sound advice. The first sound advice was, come back to Capernaum, look at the masses of people, you'll be famous. And now they come back to him and they say to him, this is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Probably the disciples say, for goodness sake, we want to have some rest at some time. And they couldn't see that that was good advice. Well, it was good advice, wasn't it? Probably we would have said the same thing. So, but Jesus answered them, as you will now know, you give them something to eat. Now, they were terribly tired, they were traumatized, they had a shock, they were supposed to be, Jesus was supposed to be reading them bedtime stories and stuff like that. And they said to him, that would take more than half a year's salary, wages. Are we to go and spend all of that much on bread and give it to these people to eat? And they had no supermarket nearby to go to anyway. How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Sit them down in 50s and 100s. Jesus then gives thanks for the food. Sometimes we want a lot of stuff, and we've got a big mission or something like this, and we only have a little money, or we only have a few helpers. Let's give thanks for what God has given us, and he can even use the small amount that we have to bless the multitude. And so Jesus comes to the disciples at last. And he says, okay, you guys, take the boat, go back to Capernaum. I'm going to stay here at the quiet place and pray. Well, it wasn't quiet because of the 5,000 people, but he sends them home, and he prayed for most of the night. Early into the morning he was praying, and then he saw the disciples in trouble on the lake. And so he went out to meet them. And the disciples were a little bit surprised to see someone walking on water. They thought it was a ghost, you know the story. And they were absolutely terrified. Why did Jesus have to terrify them again? Well, the Bible hints that they hadn't learnt the lesson from the fish and the bread. Do we need to learn lessons for things like that? Do we need to be energized to do some things that God really wants to see happening in our village areas around here? I know I need to have someone to push me and to do things like that. But it's really exciting that Jesus loves them so much. He loves them so much that he has to inflict on them a little bit of pain here and there. And if God loves us, he will discipline us, won't he? So we need to pray that God would lead us and discipline us and take us forward. And so Jesus was reinforcing the teaching of the loaves by scaring the wit's end out of the disciples by walking over the water in darkness. Brutal reinforcement of the point that he, Jesus, was God and he could be trusted to do anything and everything. I've got 5 minutes, Mark, is that right? Is that right? Yeah. I want to go quickly and I'm going to introduce you to some people that are really incredible. The young people as missionaries. This girl in the centre, I was in Myanmar and she's just 12. And I had 30 people. She was out through the window there. She was cradling a baby. And I invited her in. She spent 3 days there. At the end, I showed her these little cards that you can see her with. And she was teaching the other children. When I left Myanmar, I had an email from Jubilee to saying, this girl has invited her friends from school. They are in her home, a bamboo home. They couldn't run because they collapsed through the floor. And she was teaching them about Jesus. And one of the kids there was a little boy. I went there the next year. And he said, Peter, I've got a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, at home, my parents have got this Buddha in the corner. I have to kneel and pray to the Buddha. What should I do? So I thought, what do I tell this kid? And so I said, well, what you do is simple. You kneel down, but you don't pray to the Buddha. You pray to Jesus, who you love. And he looked at me shocked. He said, how can I deceive other people by pretending to worship the Buddha when I'm worshipping Jesus? He reprimanded me. Another girl in Holland was the same sort of story. But lastly, I want to tell you about a girl from St. John's. She's in primary school. She came to me the other week, Sunday, and she said, Peter, I've got the pictures that you gave me of the story from the Bible about Jesus. And I invited two friends, and they came, and I shared this with them, and they didn't like it. I said, I'm sorry. She said, but I'm going to invite them again. My friends, as we close this bit of the service, I want to encourage you to keep going, even when it's tough. The disciples had a tough time on their day's retreat. So please take courage. And we are not to work for God, but to be the agents whereby God may work in us. His presence is not to observe the quality of our service, but to be the source and strength of service. And before Mark kills me, I'll stop.